What color is a motive? How big is a motive? How much does a motive weigh? Any guesses? How much does a motive weigh? How much does a locomotive weigh? It's Spanish, locomotive. Must have been crazy. That's my defense, insanity. Where does this stuff come from? So there is such a thing as a motive. Is a motive a creative thing? When God created the universe in 7 days, did he say, and here is the motive? No. It's not a creative thing. There's a lot of things like that. It is basically a statement of a state of being. Evil, basically, if you want to break it down in one sense, it's the absence of God. God is good. Evil is the absence. Maybe in a more specific sense, it is absence of fellowship or conformity to God. It's actually rebellion against God. Okay? Just like cold is the absence of heat and darkness is the absence of light, evil is that state of being anti-God, of rebelling against and rejecting and leaving God out and going a different way. When God made this world, he didn't make anything evil, but he gave people the choice. So there was a potential for evil. It did not exist at the time, but he gave them the choice to choose life or death, goodness or evil. They could eat from the tree of life and live forever, or they could eat from the tree of the knowledge and good and evil. They made their choice, and we are the benefactors of that choice to, many, many, many years later. Yeah. Oh. But there's hope. There is hope. Now, second question. All right, so God didn't create it, but why does he put up with it? Why does he tolerate it? Why doesn't God put an end to evil right now? And the question was posed specifically about Satan. If Satan is the perpetrator and the father of all evil, why doesn't he just put him away now? Why doesn't God put a stop to it and say, enough is enough? When you think of all the suffering and pain and death and carnage and darkness, why doesn't God just step in and say, that's it, enough, and put an end to evil? If God is good, if he's all powerful. The next time someone asks you, why doesn't God put an end to evil, particularly if they're an unbeliever, tell them, why are you in such a hurry to die? Yeah. If God said, all right, as of right now, I am destroying all evil in the world, guess who would be in a lot of trouble? Now, if God were to say, okay, that's it, I'm put up with Satan long enough, I'm going to get rid of him today. He's not only going to get rid of him, he is going to get rid of all who belong to him. And in Jesus' words, you either belong to God or you belong to Satan. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. That's why he said you must be born again, because then when you are born of God, you belong to God and you have the right now to become a child of God. But until then, the scripture says that we are, before we're saved, we are children of wrath. We are by nature objects of God's wrath because we are by nature rebellious and sinful and selfish. And so if God put an end to Satan today, there'd be a whole lot of people going to hell that could otherwise be saved. So I'm glad he doesn't do it today. There is a time coming. There is a day coming. God will not be mocked. He has set a date, an appointment in our history when he is going to come in and step in and put an end to all evil. But in the meantime, he calls you and he calls me. He calls us to go out there and work to see that glorious thing. When people turn from darkness to light, when they turn from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God, and he transfers them out of that darkness into the realm of his glory and sets that soul free, there is nothing like that in this world. Thank God we still have the opportunity. I don't know how long. Praise God. There is a whole world of people blinded by Satan, enslaved to sin, suffering under his oppressive rule that God wants to set free, to liberate and give life to and fill them with himself. That's the original call, that we should bear the image of God to the world, that we would in fact be a reflection of his glory. That's what God wants to restore. Praise God. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to put this up on the screen, but you're welcome to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 10, verse 38. I want to challenge you today. Having said all that, having laid that foundation, I want to challenge you today. I hope you guys up for a challenge? Cool. Yes, ma'am. That's right. That's the spirit, Jen. That's what I'm talking about, girl. Praise God. You may be right. She may be crazy. But she just might be the lunatic you're looking for. I'm showing my age here. What was that, Billy Joel? Oh, gosh. Okay. Praise God. Acts chapter 10, verse 37 and 38. Peter was preaching. He said, "That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism with John the Baptist preached," in verse 38 especially, "how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." Let that sink in. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing. Yes, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Praise God. Who were those people who were oppressed by the devil? Shiloh? You were one of them? Okay, yeah. All of these people we were just talking about, all these blind, all these captive, all these brokenhearted, all these rejected, all these people living in darkness, this sea of people all around us and all around him. That's who it's talking about. The poor, the broken, the enslaved, the blind, the lost. And notice that it's not just talking here about spiritual conditions. This is not just trying to spiritualize everything and saying, well, I was blind, now I see, or, you know, some kind of spiritual condition. Yes, it is all that, but it is more than that. He talks about healing. Say healing. Healing those who are oppressed by the devil. What was Jesus' ministry marked by? What was the biggest characteristic of his ministry? Healing. Now, was it physical or spiritual? Yes. It was both. It was both. Praise God. Now, a few weeks ago, I'm getting to this challenge. I'm working up to it. A few weeks ago at our evangelism seminar, my buddy Chris Peeler came in, and he told us that the Son of Man had come to seek and to save the lost. That was Jesus' commission by his own words. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And then later on, after he rose from the dead, he told the disciples, "As the Father has sent me, so I also send you." So that means our commission is also then to seek and to save the lost. Amen? And we said, "All right, Chris, you got it. We'll go to the mall and give out tracts." So that's what we concluded. But, if we look at this verse today, Acts 10:38, it said God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and doing what? Healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Why? Because for God was with him. Guess what? As the Father has sent me, so also I send you. As the Father has sent me, so also I send you, Joe. And your wife too. Barbara, Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, sweetheart, so also I send you. And Ian and Fred, as the Father has sent me. How did God send him? He anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Laura? Is that you back there? Jesus said, my dear friend, as the Father has sent me, so also I send you. I send you. Anointed with the Holy Spirit and power to go out, do good, do beneficent things, essentially, and to heal in the power and in the name and authority of Jesus Christ, to heal all who are oppressed by the devil. Can you think of anybody God might be sending you to? Anybody? Yeah, make a list. Praise God. It's one of those things that makes you go, You can tell I've watched a little bit of TV in my life, probably way too much. Now you might be saying to me, wait a minute, D'Souza, I know where you're going with this, but, you know, I'm sorry, I just don't feel called to do that. Who was telling me that? Was it you, Dave? Somebody said, the next time, you know, you said, well, I don't feel led to do that. Give them a bullet. Then they can feel led to do that. Maybe it was Larry Wheeler. I forget. Somebody was telling me that. Yes, very clever. Wait a minute, John. Wait a minute. You know, I know you're pulling all this pastoral stuff and you're making this point and that point. But, you know, bottom line, man, I just don't feel like I am called to do that. I'm sorry. It's not me. It might be these other guys, but, you know, it's just not me. Look at that smile. Anybody thinking that thing in their gut? So you're telling me you don't feel called to pray for people? Wow. Oh. How many people here would say, I don't feel called to pray for people? Yeah. I mean, you know, we love people, man. Praise God. You know what? That's basically all it is. God is calling us to pray for folk. I don't know, man. You know, that's kind of scary. Let's pray for folk. And I am guilty of this, man. You know, because sometimes I have all kinds of fears. What if nothing happens? We'll answer that too in a little while, a few minutes. We'll answer that. What if nothing happens? Okay. Oh no. Well, we better not pray for anybody then, because it might not happen. That's it. I'm not praying for anybody. You guys are out of luck. I mean, you want prayer? Go to Jean Beecher, because that girl can pray. Stuff happens all the time. Don't ask me, because nothing might happen. Praise God. Look, let me just say very, very simply. Just because you may not have specifically the gift of miracles that some people have as a gifting, like Catherine Coleman and some of these people, Mahesh Chavda, where, you know, folks are saved, like entire rows of people are suddenly healed in one shot. He just waves his hand and the power of God goes out and people are falling out and getting healed right and left. That's wonderful. But just because you don't have that doesn't mean that God can't use you in amazing, mind-blowing ways. If you will simply give him the opportunity to do so. Wow. I hope that door is opening a crack in your mind. If you will simply give him the opportunity. No, of course you don't have to. You know, you may never come a time when you're just walking past people and the anointing is so heavy on you that people just start falling out and getting healed around you. Praise God. I hope it happens, though. Man, I am pursuing that with all my heart. Man, I'm fasting and praying and seeking God. I want that, and I want that for all of you. Praise God, man. An army of people. But just because it may not happen on some mind-blowing scale doesn't mean that God can't blow your mind by what he does in your life if you will simply allow him the opportunity and say, God, send me. Use me. I'm willing. I don't know what to say. I'm just going to trust you for the words. You'll show me. Praise God. Just like we are all called to share our faith, Of course, you might not agree with that yet. I was going to say, just like we're all called to share our faith, and some of you are probably thinking, no. Yeah, Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. But if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. So we're all called to confess Christ before men. We're all called in some way, shape, or form to share our faith. We may not necessarily be an evangelist per se and have that as the office that God has put us in the body of Christ, but we're all nevertheless called to share our faith. Well, if that's so, then likewise we should be confident and excited to pray for people to see what God is going to do to break those chains off their life. We should wake up with anticipation. God, you know, I got a busy day, man. My mind is whirling already. My feet haven't even hit the floor yet. But please, at some point in my busy day, would you allow me the opportunity to pray for somebody today? Oh, my goodness. What could God do if every morning before we got out of bed, we said, Lord, I'm getting out of bed. Would you let me pray for someone today? I don't know where in the world I'm going to fit it in, but I know that you can do it. I'm open. Use me. And then just wait to see what he does.